Welcome to the deep dive, fellow learner. Whether you are prepping for a major presentation or trying to navigate the incredibly tricky waters of startup culture, or maybe you're just insanely curious about human behavior, well, you are in the right place today.
Absolutely.
Because our mission today is to explore how we communicate, you know, how we are perceived by others, and what happens when we use artificial intelligence, not just as a shortcut to write our emails, but as a brutally honest mirror reflecting our own personalities back at us.
The premise here is genuinely fascinating. I mean, we spend almost our entire lives communicating with other people, yet we very rarely get an objective, unfiltered critique of how our personal style actually lands with an audience.
Right.
We usually just rely on subtle social cues, which, let's be honest, are notoriously unreliable.
Well, totally. And the source material we are jumping into today provides the absolute perfect case study for this. We are looking at a piece titled Listening to the AI, published by Angel to Exit.
And for a little quick context for you listening, Angel to Exit is the largest incubator and accelerator in the San Francisco Bay Area region.
Yeah, and if you aren't familiar with the startup world, an incubator is essentially a boot camp where early stage startups fight for their survival. They refine their business models and ultimately try to secure funding.
It's a high pressure environment.
Very high pressure. And the author of this article, Fred Cohen, he's a former professor and engineer by training and an advisor who actually evaluates these startup pitches.
Okay, let's unpack this. Fred essentially decides to run an experiment.
A brave one.
Right. He feeds his own written articles into a commonly available AI system just to see what kind of commentary it generates about his personal writing style.
It sounds like a quirky tech experiment on the surface, but the context of who Fred is makes this incredibly relevant.
Go on.
Well, this is fundamentally a story about the intersection of high-stakes startup culture, human communication, and that exact friction we see today between old-school, unfiltered directness and modern, quote-unquote, corporate polite sensibilities. Yes, exactly.
We are looking at what happens when a highly logical engineer who values extreme efficiency collides head-on with an algorithm that has been explicitly trained to be universally pleasant.
And the AI definitely did not hold back.
Not at all.
The commentary it had generated on Fred's writing was hilarious, but also incredibly telling. It immediately flagged his style as so blunt.
So blunt.
And then, after analyzing a bit more text, it updated its assessment to even blunter. It actually described his approach as a, quote, radical restructuring of the mentor and mentee relationship.
Which is wild. Just imagine feeding your latest quarterly report into an AI and having it essentially tell you that you have zero chill.
I would be mortified.
What?
But to understand why the AI reacted that way, we have to look at the environment Fred operates in. He uses what he calls the direct approach.
Right, the direct approach. Meaning, if he asks a founder a question like, how many X are there today? He expects the answer to be a number.
Just a number.
He doesn't want a backstory. He doesn't want a long-winded justification of the macroeconomic market conditions. He just wants the number.
Which he admits is a bit ironic, considering he used to be a professor.
Right.
He's perfectly capable of lecturing for an hour about the simplest issue. But he has forced himself to stick to the numbers. And to really understand why he is so incredibly blunt, we have to look at his schedule. We have to look at the crucible he steps into every single Thursday.
The Thursday crucible.
Picture this. Every Thursday, Fred speaks to about 45 people. Out of those 45 people, 35 are complete strangers who are pitching him their companies in a single 1 to 1.5 hour online meeting.
When you actually do the math on that scenario, he has absolutely no choice but to be blunt.
Exactly.
You have up to 45 people crammed into a 90-minute window. If Fred took the traditional pleasant approach to conversational discussion.
The smiling, the nodding.
Yeah, smiling, nodding, letting people finish their preamble, offering gentle, encouraging feedback before getting to his point, he would waste everyone's time.
The other 29 or so people waiting on the call would be completely checked out.
They'd be asleep.
He actually admits to actively interrupting founders in the middle of their pitches.
Which is intense.
Why would he do that? I mean, isn't that just objectively rude, especially when someone is nervous and pitching their life's work?
It might seem rude to an outside observer, but he does it for a very specific strategic reason. A memorized pitch is just a performance.
Right.
It doesn't tell an investor how a founder thinks on their feet or how they handle actual pressure. By throwing a wrench into their rehearsed script, he shatters the performance.
He gets a real sense of them as individuals.
And as leaders.
Yeah.
He is actively testing their mettle in real time.
So put yourself in that pressure cooker environment for a second. Imagine you are the one pitching on that Thursday call. Would you prefer the polite nod that lets you finish your memorized speech, but ultimately gets you nowhere because the investor tuned out?
Or would you prefer the blunt, jarring interruption that actually tests your capabilities and gives you a real shot at proving your worth?
It is a tough pill to swallow for sure, but the pleasant route just isn't viable when the stakes are that high.
But that AI critique brings up a glaring blind spot.
Yeah.
The AI is judging Fred based on a universal synthetic standard. But Fred points out that perception is entirely relative, which is a brilliant observation.
It really is. He actually calls himself a conservative radical to explain this.
A conservative radical.
Yeah. He notes that if you are looking at him from the extreme liberal side of politics or business or science, engineering, anything really, you probably see him as being conservative and obsessed with minutiae.
Okay.
But if you were looking at him from the radical conservative side, you likely see him as an undisciplined liberal throwing out wild ideas.
We need to be very clear with you, the listener, that we are not taking any political sides here.
Definitely not.
And neither is the source material in a partisan sense. The author is using political terms purely to illustrate a broader point about relativity. What's fascinating here is that perception is entirely relative to the observer's starting point.
Exactly. People are judging Fred's communication style based on where they stand, not based on where he stands.
And the AI does the same thing. The AI tells Fred he's proposing a radical restructuring of the mentor-mentee relationship.
But Fred thinks that is absolute hyperbole. To his mind, he isn't being radical at all. He is just doing sensible things for sensible reasons.
Right.
So why does the AI perceive him as such an outlier?
Well, this gets to the core of how artificial intelligence works. Large language models, the technology behind these systems, they are trained on massive data sets of human text, right?
Right.
But they don't just spit that text back out raw. They go through a process of reinforcement learning, guided by human testers, to establish guardrails. Their baseline becomes an average of all that data, and it is heavily weighted toward modern, polite, standardized, and quote-unquote safe communication.
So Fred's personal baseline simply differs from the standard that the language models are programmed to prefer.
Exactly. To the AI, his sensible, high-efficiency approach registers as a massive, radical deviation from the corporate norm.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because the AI didn't just label him blunt and move on.
No, it dug in.
It made one specific critique that Fred found completely absurd. The AI claimed that Fred's blunt approach, quote, shifts the burden of agency onto the founder.
Wow.
He called this the most pathetic assertion he had seen from the system.
To really grasp why he had such a visceral reaction to that, we should probably define what the burdens of agency actually means in this context.
Go for it.
In simple terms, it means whose job is it to drive the conversation forward? The AI is essentially complaining that Fred is making the founders do too much of the heavy lifting in the interaction.
But wait, isn't that a valid critique? I mean, shouldn't a good mentor or an experienced investor help pull that vision out of a nervous founder?
In a classroom setting, perhaps? But Fred's worldview and, frankly, the brutal reality of the business ecosystem dictates that the burden of agency is always on the seller.
Always on the seller.
It is always on the founder to explain their value to the buyer or the investor. It is the buyer's job to ask hard questions and demand meaningful answers, not to coddle the person asking for money.
That makes a lot of sense when you frame it around survival. If you expect the investor to do the hard work of discovering your vision for you, you have completely missed the point of being a founder.
Absolutely.
Fred has a fantastic, unapologetic quote that sums this up perfectly. He says, "You get out what you put in, and if you don't put up your effort, you should probably shut up your company."
It is harsh.
Yeah.
But it is deeply practical. And what is so revealing is the exercise Fred did next to highlight the contrast between his practical reality and the AI's sanitized version of the world.
Yes. So Fred decides to test this. He feeds his blunt 40-word rule that put up or shut up statement right into the AI.
Okay.
His prompt to the system was to rewrite the statement in a very polite and friendly manner, taking enough time and space to make the reader feel good about themselves.
I can only imagine.
What did the AI actually do with it? Let me read you how the AI started its rewrite. It wrote, If you're reaching out in hopes of receiving help or exploring the possibility of an investment, first let me say how much I respect the initiative that takes. Building something, asking for support, and putting your ideas into the world require courage and commitment. That effort matters.
Wait, respect the initiative.
Ev!
It took 3 full sentences just to say hello and offer a compliment.
I know.
In Fred's 90-minute window, 3 other founders could have pitched by now.
It gets worse. The AI continues. At the same time, meaningful collaboration works best when it's mutual. The energy, preparation, and thoughtfulness you bring to the table directly shape the quality of support you'll receive in return. When you invest time refining your ideas, clarifying your goals, and demonstrating your own dedication, it creates a strong foundation for others to contribute in a meaningful way.
This is pure corporate fluff.
Careful.
Looking at the two versions side by side tells you everything you need to know about corporate communication today. It has completely removed the stakes.
Just wait. The AI finishes with this grand finale. In other words, the more you put into your work, your planning, your persistence, your follow-through, the more others will be able to amplify and support it. If the effort isn't there yet, that's okay. It simply means there may be more groundwork to do before seeking outside assistance. I believe in encouraging people to rise to their own potential. When you bring your very best, it not only strengthens your company, it invites others to bring their best as well.
Oh, wow. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the AI did exactly what it was programmed to do. It made the reader feel safe and validated.
Very validated.
But in doing so, it entirely dilutes the urgency and the harsh reality of what it actually takes to secure investment. In the real world, an investor simply does not have the time to tell 45 people a day how much they respect their courage.
Exactly. The core message, which is, you are not prepared and I am not investing, is almost completely lost in a sea of encouragement.
It really is.
It forces you to ask yourself, is this kind of hyper-politeness actually helping you grow, or is it just protecting your ego from the reality of the market? Are we sacrificing clarity for comfort?
For Fred, clarity is non-negotiable, and a significant portion of that worldview stems directly from his background. He was educated as an engineer. He grew up in an era and an environment where the absolute baseline requirement was to stand and deliver.
Stand and deliver. Let's explore that for a second. That sounds intense. What did that actually look like in practice for an engineer of his generation?
It is a profound operating principle. It means when you are called upon in a meeting or a review, you present your data instantly.
Right now.
You defend your position with logic, not emotion. If someone asks for a metric, you provide the exact metric. There is no preamble. There is no softening the blow. You are expected to be accurate and immediate.
Fred notes that if you weren't prepared for what was coming at you in that environment, you would look like an idiot. End of conversation. Mm-hmm. There was no hand-holding to make you feel better about your lack of preparation. Furthermore, the timeframes for responses in his engineering days were extremely short, and the punishment for missing those windows was substantial.
It was an unforgiving environment that required precision to prevent catastrophic failures.
This raises an important question regarding the modern push for cultural sensitivity.
It does. Fred makes a very sharp critique here. Modern corporate culture prides itself on being inclusive and sensitive to different working styles. But he wonders aloud how sensitive modern culture actually is to the culture of others, specifically the culture of engineers and highly logical thinkers.
Right. He points out that different people handle high-pressure situations differently based on their background.
Yeah.
Some people might scream at the drop of a hat, while others remain completely silent, even in matters of life and death. They aren't silent because they don't care. They're silent because they are processing the variables internally.
And what really gets under his skin is the hypocrisy of the AI's safety guardrails. The AI analyzed his writing and summarized his style as, quote, the engineer's mindset applied to conversation.
On the surface, that sounds like an accurate, almost neutral description of exactly what we just discussed.
But Fred points out a fascinating nuance about who is allowed to say what. He says that he can say that about himself, and it's totally fine. When he says his style is the engineer's mindset, he is saying it with a bit of humor and self-awareness. But when the AI says it back to him, he is actively offended.
Why does it bother him so much coming from a machine?
Because when the AI uses that phrase, it is speaking from a place of algorithmic ignorance.
Okay.
The AI doesn't have a culture. It hasn't lived through the high-stakes stand-and-deliver engineering environment where a miscalculation could cost millions of dollars or human lives. It is simply categorizing a deviation from its hyper-polite programming and slapping a generic label on it.
It is essentially a form of cultural erasure.
That is exactly what it is. It highlights how the so-called safety protocols of AI, the guardrails, designed to keep it polite, inclusive, and non-offensive, are often executed poorly.
How so?
By forcing every interaction into a warm, fuzzy, HR-approved tone, they enforce a homogenization of communication. They actively exclude and disrespect the specific, highly efficient cultural approach of neurodivergent individuals or hardcore logical thinkers who actually built the tech industry in the first place.
He literally says he wishes the developers would focus on understanding his cultural approach for him and your cultural approach for you, rather than forcing everyone into the same bland corporate voice.
Exactly.
He wants the tools to adapt to the user, not force the user to adapt to a synthesized average of politeness.
And yet, despite his deep frustrations with the AI's limitations and its fluffy rewrites, he doesn't dismiss the technology at all. His conclusion is incredibly grounded and practical.
So what does this all mean? When we boil down the Angel to Exit article and look past the annoyance of corporate fluff, what is the core lesson we can take away?
It is that AI, for all its flaws, is essentially a mirror reflecting humanity's average perception back at us.
Fred's ultimate takeaway is simple but powerful. Listen to the AI. Don't be offended by it. The AI is just showing you how the rest of the world likely views you.
That is the ultimate value of this entire exercise. True knowledge comes from testing your assumptions. We rarely get a chance to see ourselves from the outside.
Very true.
If the algorithm analyzes your emails or your pitch and tells you that you are coming across as blunt or radical or demanding, you shouldn't get angry at the code. You should recognize that this is probably how your colleagues, your employees, or your potential investors perceive you.
And if you are fine with being seen that way, like Fred is, then keep doing what you're doing. But if you don't want to be perceived as blunt or demanding, the burden is entirely on you to change.
You have to change your output.
It is such a brilliant way to use technology for self-reflection rather than just automated task completion.
And for those of you listening who are founders or who are trying to navigate the startup world, the source material actually provides a real-world application for these lessons.
Oh, right, the calls.
Yeah. Angel to Exit extends an open invitation for ecosystem participants to join their free monthly advisory calls.
Yeah.
They typically host these at 0900 Pacific time on the first and third Thursday of the month.
It is an opportunity to log on, tell them about your company and your situation, and learn from others as they learn from you. It is a chance to step into that exact crucible we've been talking about, to test your pitch, and to see if you can handle the direct approach in real time.
Just remember to bring your numbers, be ready to be interrupted, and definitely don't expect a 140-word paragraph praising your courage and initiative.
You get out what you put in. If you want to survive the crucible, you have to embrace the friction.
Well said.
As we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over. We've seen how Fred's blunt, precise, high-stakes communication style drives his success in identifying strong startups and cutting through the noise. But as large language models become increasingly integrated into our daily lives, drafting our emails, writing our reports, and quietly softening our words to default to a hyper-polite standard average, are we risking something bigger?
It's a great question.
If we outsource our voice to algorithms trained to prioritize comfort over clarity, do we risk entirely erasing the exact kind of blunt, direct communication that actually drives high-stakes innovation? Keep questioning, keep learning, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.